B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, May 9th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll discuss some rumor changes for Overwatch and see whether or not they're going to be a good idea. That conversation is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. We're now only a month away from the largest gaming show of the year. With the press conferences for E3 officially announced, we need to officially lay out our terms to each developer and let them know what it's going to take for them to get the official Checkpoint XP seal of approval.
Yeah, so, so that, a month from now when we see these press conferences, we can look back
say
and
say pass or fail.
Pass or fail.
There's going to be some objective measurement tools to be able
exactly.
to apply.
Because all if right. we just waited, we could always just say no matter what. No, it wasn't good enough.
Well,
no,
look,
put out the
for certain companies, Square Enix, it's a high bar.
Well, and,
it's a high bar.
And so this isn't to say what do you need to get for us to say you're a great company. This is for you to get the E3 seal approval.
I get
a good
it.
E3 show.
No,
that's
I get
fair.
It.
All right.
All right. So let's start with Microsoft. Sunday, June 9th, 4 p.m. Eastern time, they are leading it off. What does it take to get the Checkpoint XP seal of approval, Microsoft? What do they need to do?
I need to see something different than I've seen out of years past from Microsoft.
You don't it want 50 timed exclusives, Nate?
I do not.
And it needs to be more than that style of presentation of exclusive.
Right.
World premiere.
Right.
I don't need that.
I don't need a demo highlight reel of what you think is going to be the best stuff on the system throughout the year. Because, I mean, like, that has been the presentation every single year, year over year. What I'd like Microsoft to come out and do is lay out their vision of the future. Now that we see so many technological changes that are happening, they can't really deny it. No one in video gaming is trying to deny it.
Right.
Technology is pushing, this kind of stuff forward. And I really want to know where they're going to go with the football.
And I agree. I also think, whatever their new console announcement has to be more than just bigger, better, more powerful box.
I don't think I want to see a new console.
You're going to see at least a console,
so,
I think.
To that end, I've got two things that I need to say. I need to see Halo Infinite 1. And while I do know we're going to get a new console, what I need is a little bit of humility with that new console.
Agreed.
Just some form of acknowledgement that, hey, we're in third place right now, and we're trying to fix that. All right, moving on. Sunday, June 9th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Bethesda takes the stage.
I want to see something new for Fallout. I mean, Fallout 76 has been huge in my year this year, right? Like, I'd say that's probably the game that I've plunked the most time into. Fine, make fun of me. I don't care. I'll be the butt of the joke. But I love that game. I want to see something new for the Fallout world, Fallout 5, or the long-rumored 3 remaster, New Vegas remaster. I want to see either of those, and I'd love to see some Switch support.
Okay, see, the remasters are more likely because we've gotten Fallout 4 before the last Elder Scrolls, so we're going to see Elder Scrolls 6 before we, or whatever the next one is, before we see the next Fallout 5. No offense, Nate.
Norris, what do you think?
I just think they need to not do Bethesda Land again.
Oh, well, that's a low bar for the seal of approval. I'll say this, though. What I need to see is, because I know we're not going to see Elder Scrolls 6, I want at least a remaster of Morrowind or something to tide me over. That's what I need.
That'd be cool.
That's not bad. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. We're currently going over the announcement schedule, the
press conference
schedule. thank you, for E3 this year, and just kind of setting our expectations now so that when the press conferences come, we can't be all starry-eyed and be like, oh, it's amazing.
Exactly.
We're laying it all out on the table currently. So who are we looking at next?
Yep, up next on Monday, June 10th at 4 p.m., it'll be Ubisoft moving to the main stage.
The thing is, I think Ubisoft actually, besides Nintendo, is going to have the easiest time selling what it is that it has coming up for the next year, because all they have to do is announce the next Assassin's Creed that's supposed to come out next year, because they've sort of begun to earn back faith in that franchise with the last two installments, and I think they just give an outline for whatever the Division 2 has, and they do that.
I gotcha. What's really going to set people on fire for Ubisoft is showing us the progress you've made so far on Beyond Good and Evil 2.
That's going to be the big one.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be really big. I don't know that Ubisoft wants to come out and set people on fire. That sounds a little aggressive. I just hope they don't open with a cheesy dance number, right? Like,
yeah, was it the conga line that they did?
It's Ubisoft. They're French.
I understand, but you don't need to bring in Cirque du Soleil every single year.
Nah, this time it's going to be Zoomanity with the naked folks.
No. Oh, gross.
All right. Monday, June 10th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Square Enix.
You know, this is tough, man. I'm a lapsed Square Enix fan at this point. Like, I have to identify as that.
What is even on the calendar for Square Enix now?
See, my bar is so low for Square Enix. Put a game out in 2020.
Ugh.
Let's put a game out.
See, because what's even on the calendar right now for everybody else, we know sort of even what a 4 to 5 year outlook is for some of these companies. I have no idea what they're putting out.
So you're saying a 2019 release date would earn your seal of approval.
Dude, that's how low the bar is for Square Enix. I mean,
it shouldn't be that low because they have Sony. You realize they're in Sony's time slot.
Oh, but they put out such heavy hitters Kingdom Hearts 3.
No.
So, I don't think there's anything Square Enix can do. Anything.
For a seal of approval, it is tough because, like...
Don't show up.
That's
stay in bed.
Yeah.
That is me.
Save everyone's time.
Yeah, because, like, it'd be fun to come on here and say Final Fantasy 16, but, like, for what, 2027? I don't know.
Yeah, like, that's exactly it. What are they going to announce that's going to be ready in time for me to care about?
To care.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what it is. Yeah, a decent titled release that's coming out this year or early, before E3 next year. That'll earn my seal of approval.
Fair. I mean, that's such a low bar.
It sure is. All right, lastly, we got Tuesday, June 11th, noon Eastern Time, Nintendo. Not a press conference, but a Nintendo Direct.
What I hope. I hope it's just Sakurai sitting on a pile of money, sliding down it like the Joker.
I have one word.
I can guess what the word is.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I cared to hear about at all from Nintendo. I want to hear about Pokemon on the Switch. I want the next generation.
Which I think they'll do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that they've used E3 as a platform for Pokemon in the past. I'd also like to hear some confirmation about these new systems that we keep hearing rumors about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty certain we're not going to hear anything about the systems, but what I think we will get is another look at Super Mario Maker 2, maybe a little bit more about that. I'm excited for that game, finally a title that, you know, is on the Switch that I can actually play.
But I feel like when Nintendo, outside of Smash and a few other titles like Pokemon, they announce stuff that I don't care about, and all the stuff I care about gets released in the middle of the year, door.
So what about more third-party support?
That'd be nice.
That'd be awesome.
I'd be up for that. All right, real quick, since we got a moment left, just EA, if anything, what could they do?
If they come to me and they say, we fix single player in FIFA, that's got me on board for one more year.
If they can put together a cogent stage presentation for just once, where they don't have something go obnoxiously wrong, then I'll give them a pass. How about that?
Give me a good look at Jedi Fallen Order. At least then I won't mock you on the air.
What about you, Riley?
Oh, very, very. I'll go with Joe. Give me the look at something decent.
All right, well, listen, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. What are you looking to hear out of each one of the big companies for their press conferences out at E3 this year? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, the rumor mill is certainly churning that Blizzard is getting ready to make some major changes to Overwatch. We'll discuss those ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. The rumor mill is churning that Blizzard is planning some pretty major changes to the way that Overwatch works. Rod Slasher Breslau claims that he's heard that Blizzard are working on some pretty big changes, and while he couldn't dive into specifics, one of the most prominent theories is role restriction.
Yeah, so...
A big grain of salt on that, of course, because... You know, nothing's confirmed by Blizzard, and yes. This is just kind of what the community theorizes he's talking about. But it's opened up a conversation about it.
Yeah. So this would be kind of a answer to goats, a way to eliminate goats. But I see a lot of problems bringing this sort of system in. Robbie, as our Overwatch experts, like, what are you guys seeing?
Well, just so people understand, too, they're talking about you have to do two tanks, two DPS, two support. That's what it means, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And Nate, you're right. The one thing this would solve is the GOATS composition, which is 3-3. They go in with three tanks and three healers. Mm-hmm. This would only solve GOATS. It would not solve the greater problem of what basically GOATS is, which is the meta becoming stale for some people.
Yeah, and essentially what locking people into a 2-2-2 does is it continues to reduce the sort of pool that people are expected to play, and I think this begins to bring up matchmaking issues. But the biggest thing is that this is a game that was built on flexibility. The foundation of the game is built upon you being able to swap your heroes in and out as the situation as the situation dictates. And I think by locking people into a rigid sort of meta or composition, that you begin to undermine that creativity. You undermine what your game was built on, and that kind of doesn't make sense to me.
So I guess I look at this and from the competitive angle, you're right. I mean, obviously, there's always going to be a dominant meta, whether it happens to be GOATS or two snipers or whatever it is. Something is always going to rise to the top until, you know, the way that people play changes or patches change things.
And it should be noted, too, that even if you take a team that let's use Double Sniper as an example, because that was a 2-2-2 meta.
Sure was.
If your team maybe doesn't have good snipers in them, what you're going to start to see teams do then is two Sniper is dominating right now. Let's get us players who can play those.
Yeah. And essentially, you'll see players start to fall in and out of favor in terms of what is going on with the meta, because snipers are a really, really, really sort of niche skill in OWL. There are certain players who are known to play sniper hit scan characters. And while that's cool, you still don't see, in my opinion, the level of vitriol for something like that as you do for GOATs. And what this feels like is a reaction to a very vocal, I don't even want to call them a minority anymore, just a very vocal cohort of Overwatch fans that seem to forget how they even learn to play the game.
So, for, I mean, for me, when I look at this, the benefit that I see here, I mean, is twofold. One is that when you do have an established meta, it's a lot easier to balance your heroes. When you have an idea of what people are going to be doing, if I know there's going to be a DPS and one other DPS, I can now balance all my DPS around that idea, not having to account for maybe there, for some reason someone's running four DPS or something insane. The other big thing is you can open up to have a role queue at some point if you do that, where you can...
That's true. And they've talked about role queue as well, but what you're going to run into now, Jeff has actually came out and said that if there were to be a 2-2-2 comp, they realize that when it comes to like tank queues, it would be horrendous.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on News Talk 820 AM WWBA in Tampa, Sports Talk 1080 The Team in Orlando, and News Talk 1060 WIXC in Melbourne, Florida. We're currently going over the possible changes that Overwatch may see. And yeah, like if you introduce a role queue, isn't one of the fundamental parts of playing Overwatch being playing your opponent, being flexible enough to be able to counter what your opponent is bringing to the table? And it sort of feels
you can counter people within the role that you're playing as well.
Yes, that's true, but I feel like you kind of lock yourself into there's a degree of rigidity there that I feel like is counter towards the spirit of the game and the way that the meta of it is supposed to be played, two teams going up against one another.
Well, and on top of that, the thing is that you'll see in other esports, there's even sort of flexibility around even those picks. Now, Joe, you're a League of Legends fan,
sure,
and you understand that even within the whole, top, middle, bot, jungle dynamic, yeah, role queue dictates you play in those roles.
Right.
But you can really still roam wherever it is that you want to.
Right.
You can pick whatever champion you still want to, pending they're not banned out. With something like this, you still don't have that sort of fluidity, because the skill sets of the heroes are so specialized
It
makes it difficult for, say, a Tracer to go and try and tank. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, League is kind of a special case because you have itemization. Sure, you can take champions to multiple different roles because you can build them differently to more suit what they're supposed to do in that role. That isn't an option in Overwatch, but I mean, I'm looking through, someone asked, hey, what would be the biggest thing that could be done to make Overwatch a more enjoyable experience? Sure, for add role queue. Monte Cristo, I'm definitely an advocate for role queue. McGravy, role queue. Mendo, role queue. Like, major names in this are all saying role queue is something that would help a lot, but to have role queue, you have to have a standardized meta. You can't do it.
So what happens when everybody queues DPS and DPS wait times in role queue are 20 minutes long?
Do what League does when that same thing happens. No one wants to play support in League, so you have flex queue. You pick your role that you want to do. If you get put into the role you don't want to play, you're locked out of it.
Overwatch, nobody's going to pick flex queue.
No. That's what role queue is. There is no just, like, role queue in League of Legends. There's only flex queue. If you want to be able to pick your role, you have to agree to play flex.
You're right.
That's what you do.
No, you're right.
If you want to say, I want to play support, okay, this game, we really need a tank. You got put in a tank. Now for your next five games, you're guaranteed to be locked into support. Someone else will have to play the off role this time. You do it that way.
All they're doing though is exchanging one set of issues for another set of issues. What happens then when you get put in and the person who's trying to tank, they're obviously having a hard trouble with it, right? And they're like, look, I normally heal. I would rather heal if somebody else can step up and tank.
There you go.
Now you can't for the rest of the game because you're locked into your role.
Exactly. Yeah. I am a DPS main. I've been forced to learn Reinhardt over the past four seasons, and I love my Reinhardt play right now. So I tank in comp now. So
yeah, I flex all over the place. If someone wants to try something else, I jump into the spot that they were in. You cannot do that with role queue.
The answer is get good.
All right, well, listen, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Do you think Roll Queue would be a welcome addition to Overwatch or not? Tell us why. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.